What a hoot, man. Tell you what, that's a fun group to be with right there. Take your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to make a deep inroad into Romans today, completely doubling what we did last week, moving from verse 1 into verse 2. I know it, Miss Connie. I'm wide open in this thing, man. If you'll stand with me in Romans chapter 1, we're going to read verse 2. And it's exciting, man. The Word of God says, which He promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Thanks. You have a seat. Father, we love You. We love Your Word. God, we love worshiping You. We love singing songs that cause our hearts to reflect on Your beauty and Your great worth. Lord, we thank You for Your promises, and we thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit alive in us, and we thank You that all we have and all we will ever need is Christ. And Lord, I thank You that You have given us the incredible privilege of praising Your name forever. And now, Lord, please take this time in Your Word, use it, Lord, in a mighty way. God, I pray and ask that every single person in this room, Lord, they would just be drawn, and that their heart and their mind and their eyes would just be fixed on Your Word, and that the work of Your Spirit today would be clear and undeniable in their hearts and minds. And God, just take over my mouth. Let me say all that You intend for me to say and none of what You don't. And just, Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us in this room would just praise You through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we come in, and we're wide open here, right? And it's going to be a while. I was talking to my dad last night. We went and visited my parents, and I was talking to my dad last night, and he's going through Romans as well. And he said, oh, you started Romans? I said, yeah. He said, well, where are you? I said, well, I finished verse 1 last week. He's like, woo, man, you're on a fast pace. And so, you know, it's great. He's over in chapter 5. He's mining the deep stuff, you know, and we're getting the introduction down. But enjoying it, and I hope you have been taking some time to read in your Bible this past week, hopefully some in Romans and hopefully in other places as well. You know, when we come to Romans chapter 1, verse 2, one of the things that we're going to look at here is there are basically three chunks we're going to look at, and one of those things is that the gospel is a promise that God made long before Jesus came into the world. It's a promise that God made. God chose to use people to be the vehicle to give that promise out. Calls them prophets. And then those things were recorded in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. And those things are all going to point us to this one concept, one idea, and we're going to break them apart in those three ideas. But the one main thing is this, guys. When you think about this and what it's talking about, what it's pointing us to is there is one central message of the Bible. Okay? Just one. And that central message is God's message of good news through His Son, Jesus. Everything else supports that main message. Everything. Every personal sidebar that is taken in Scripture to help us as we walk through life and to deal with all that comes along. Every example of people in the Old Testament and every example in the New Testament. All these things are all pointing us and pushing us towards one thing. And that is Jesus Christ being the message of good news to sinful people. That's the whole message. That's what the Bible is pointing us to from Genesis to Revelation, and all throughout of eternity we'll be celebrating and rejoicing and enjoying that fact. Now, what's great about this, though, that I want to really emphasize to you this morning is, you know how sometimes in our culture, as soon as something gets old, we're about ready to get rid of it. If it gets a little bit old, you just go get you a new one. Your phone, just go get a new one. Your truck, well, I can't say that. But you know, you get something gets a little age to it, you just get rid of it, and you get something newer. And sometimes what can happen is, as some churches and some Christians get hung up on, they lose sight of the value and the beauty of the Old Testament. And a lot of that is because when they get to reading it, some of it is difficult. Some of it's difficult reading. Some of it's difficult to understand. And so they get in there, they get a little discouraged. They say, I'm just going back over here to the New Testament. But I want you to know that the entirety of God's Word is beautiful and powerful, and it all has one central message. So here's my encouragement to you, just as a personal encouragement as your pastor. When you read the Old Testament, read it with the understanding that it's pointing forward to the gospel in Jesus. Listen, the gospel, the Old Testament is not its own standalone book. You got to have the New Testament in there too so you can understand it. God gave us the New Testament to help us understand what He was promising in the Old. He gave us the Old so that when the New came, when the New Covenant in Jesus came, so we would actually understand what it was all about. We need both of them. You need to read the Old and you need to read the New. You need to dig and mine the treasures of both. They're full of treasures. But the first thing that our passage in Romans challenges us with is that God has made a promise about the gospel. We have all dealt with promises in our lives, haven't we? I'm telling you. But listen, if you think about it for just a second, when we make a promise, we're usually making a promise on this one central idea. We'll usually make a promise when we don't think somebody's going to believe us, or when we really need to convince them that we're going to come through. That's when we'll make a promise. You know, God made a promise not to make sure He did it, but because He was going to be sure to do it. Okay, God was going to do exactly what He said. And so what happens is, when you get into the Old Testament, you know, it starts with the book of Genesis, and you begin to read at what happened in creation, and it's not long, and man has sinned, he's rebelled against God, and there they are, hiding in the garden. God comes to visit, God comes to walk with them in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve are hiding and sewing together leaves to try to cover up their sin and their nakedness, and that's the status of fallen humanity right there. And when God begins to deal with them in chapter 3, and in verse 15, God makes a promise in Genesis 3:15 that is a message of the gospel in and of itself. He says, he tells the serpent, he says, you're going to crush the seed, singular, of the woman on the heel, but he's going to crush your head. And it's this beautiful promise that one is coming that will deal with the sin problem that we all face. I don't know if you know this, but we all are affected by sin every day. I don't know if you felt it recently, but it's there. And it's not just other people's sin that you're affected by. Anybody in here affected by their own sin? Yeah, y'all can get loud on that, can't you? Y'all are like, yeah, I know some sin. Wait a minute, I'm a sinner, that's right. You know what? It's true, though. We're affected by our own sin. We're affected by the sins of others. Listen, when you have an argument with somebody that's over absolutely nothing, you're experiencing the effects of sin. You know, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, that's just Raleigh. I don't know what to tell you with that. But when you look at it right here, God has made a promise that He's going to do something about our situation. That's good news to us. That's good news. I love to hear that. If you're in a financial difficulty and somebody called you and said, I promise I'm coming today and I'm going to bring you a check for $4 million. Yeah, wouldn't it be? I tell you what, you'd be set for a half an hour, some of you. But listen, what could happen there is there's a promise that's going to deal with my problem. And in the gospel, we're looking at the greater truth here of our biggest problem is our sin problem. The reason sin is our biggest problem is because when we have rebelled against God, we're separated from God and we deserve His punishment, His judgment. And that's terrible. That's bad news. And it's bad news for all of us because none of us can hide from God. Some of us are good at hiding our sin, right? Well, we can get over there and we can sneak it. You can hide your candy wrappers in a drawer nobody ever looks in. You can only smoke on the way home so nobody smells it on you. You can only drink when people aren't looking. You can only cuss when people you don't know from church are around. And you hide it all good, right? No, that ain't it. No, it ain't either. This is all of us, man, you know. And so, but look, we get all that going on. and we hide all we can. But the problem with that is we're only hiding it from each other, and you can't hide it from God. And God knows how you are, right where you are. And since He knows how you are, right where you are, He even knows how you are in between your ears. And that's dangerously scary, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, I've often thought if they ever put my thoughts on a projector, I'm in big trouble, mister. Because that's just how I am. And I dare say, I don't want to see y'all's thoughts on projector. I don't want to see it. And so, but God knows. God knows each and every one of these things. He knows all about us. And so what God did is because He knew about us. He knew about our sinfulness. He knew we would want to rebel against Him, His power and His authority. He knew that about us. And so God had made a plan. And the Bible says it even came to be a plan before the foundation of the earth was ever laid. In other words, before He started creation, the plan for our forgiveness was already made. He had a plan. I'm so excited about that. I just get to thinking about it. I'm not a planner. I'm not Richard Harkness. I'm not a planner. Okay? All right. I do everything spur of the moment, state of my pants, unless Aaron has scheduled it for me. I'm just making it up as I go. And that's how I am. I'm not a planner. But you know what makes me excited is sometimes every now and then somebody will plan something and I'll watch it unfold just like it ought to. And I go, man, that's really neat. That's probably why people are addicted to planning. What do y'all want to do next? But anyway, when I look at the promises of God in the Old Testament about His coming Messiah that is understood in the New, when I look at those promises of God and I see how one after another they came true, man, that gets me excited. You think about how incredible this is. Over a period of more than 1,000 years, different men wrote down promises that God gave that were then fulfilled in a span of about 3 years. Well, up to 30, because you got to count His birth in there too. So all these prophecies that come over a period of time, and then the Son of God comes into the world and fulfills all of those. Now, not all of them are done yet, but all the ones that were done were fulfilled in about a 30-year span. Hallelujah. That's incredible. Do you know the odds of that? Let me just say, you've got a better chance of winning the Mega Millions than you do of getting that right. And so that's an incredible thing right there, to think that He was promised. Now, when I get to thinking about that too, it gets me to thinking, you know what? If God has the ability to promise something beforehand that I had no idea that I would need, I bet you I can trust Him on His other promises too. So if God's made a promise, the coming of Jesus into the world to deal with our sin, the message of the Old Testament comes true in Jesus. And if God kept that promise, then I can trust Him to keep His other promises. You know, some of His other promises for me as a Christian is one day I'm going to dwell with Him for forever. And there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, because the former things will have passed away. That's a promise of God. I'm looking forward to that. Do you know there's a promise of a new body? Some of y'all ought to be more excited about that. Jeff's going to be 6'1" tall. I've already talked to the Lord about it. He said He's going to make up for it, Jeff. Listen, we're going to get a new body in Christ. He's going to do something special for us. Some of you in here with your health conditions and your ailments and the way it just wears you down, aren't you excited to know that there's a body coming one day that won't wear out on you? And y'all are allowed to get excited. I know Ronnie picked on the Methodist, but it's all right. Y'all can be excited about it. Take, if you will, just a brief moment. Turn your Bible over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He has met some disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were walking along, talking about the events of the crucifixion. Jesus walks up on them, and God blinds their eyes. They don't know it's Jesus. And He goes walking with them. And He walks up on them, and He says, hey, what y'all talking about? And they said, how on earth do you not know? And He says, I don't know. Tell me. And they tell, and they say, oh, we were just just so discouraged, right? You know? Now, come on down here to verse 25. This is after the men have introduced Jesus to the story of what happened to him. Verse 25. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Look at verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning whom? Himself." Look, skip on down to verse 44. "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophet, laws of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So what Jesus said when he was walking down, isn't this incredible? This is the first sermon that we know of after the resurrection. And you know what Jesus preached on? The entire Old Testament. Hey, wouldn't that have been incredible to be there? The resurrection just happened, and Jesus said, "Listen, now that y'all can finally understand what this whole thing's been about the whole time, let me tell you how it came as a promise in the Old Testament." And it says he began with Moses, and that means the first five books, the books of the law. He began there. He went through the Psalms. He went through the different prophets, and he showed how every single one of those books ultimately pointed at him. And he said, "All these things are fulfilled up in me." And I'm going to tell you, man, that had to be incredible, wasn't it? Can you imagine what that? I mean, just think for a minute. Have you ever studied something and then all of a sudden God gave you understanding about it? You've just been pouring through Scripture and trying to understand, and all of a sudden that light bulb comes on at one of those aha God moments, right? And you're so excited. Just imagine being a Jewish man and you've known the Old Testament your whole life. You've studied it, you've been around it, but you've never understood the main point of it. And here is God in the flesh, and he explains to you what you've missed this whole time. Could you imagine what that was like? I'm telling you what, I guarantee you they were happy and excited. Now, look at the next part. Back in Romans. Romans chapter 1 again. He promised it, promised the gospel about Jesus. The next thing is, he gave it through the prophets. Now, this is a neat thing about God that I'm not really sure we can ever wrap our minds around and understand why he would be so gracious as to do this. But God uses people to put his promise and his message out into the world. You know, back then, in the Old Testament time, there were these prophets, and God would speak to them. If you take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, it's a little bit to the right, past Hebrews, and keep trucking just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. And it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so what happens there, what Peter's explaining, what Paul's pointing out is, when God gave his promise about the gospel to come, he told people, listen, when Isaiah wrote, he's about 700 years before Christ, he wrote a lot of intimate details about Christ's death and suffering. And you know what? He got them all right. Now, how did he do that? He did that because the Spirit of God that was in him moved him to write certain things. That's what makes the Word of God so unique, so strange, so powerful, so real, is because it is not the brainchild of a bunch of different authors spread over a couple thousand years. It is the work of one author, God the Holy Spirit, working and moving through people to bring the message out. That's exciting. To think that God would work through people is amazing to think, isn't it? And to think that God could do that, and God could do it in such a way that no error happened at all. That's incredible. When's the last time you did anything and no error happened at all? It's not what we do. We're good at making errors, not at not making errors. You'll get it in a minute. Just straight all my double negatives out. You'll have that in a second. Think about this, though. You know the same thing's true today? Did you know that? No, we don't get more scripture. We don't get more revelation. God's already closed that out. But you know the message that he's already given, we have in his word. He has been put his Holy Spirit in your heart. And you read that word and you get to know God. And then you become a mouthpiece to tell others about the God that you've learned about in the word and in the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And you become the mouthpiece for telling other people about God. Isn't that amazing to think? How many of us in this room really would have thought, you know what, I bet you one day God's probably going to want me to be one of his main spokespeople. Huh? Come on, what do you think? Would you have thought that?
No.
I wouldn't have thought that either. Now, I certainly would not have thought it of me. And some of y'all, I certainly wouldn't have thought it of you. But when I get to thinking about, listen, he made a promise. He was going to give it. He was going to give the gospel. He was going to give his son one day. That's the Old Testament. He spoke through these prophets, and he did it in such a way that it was only God could have done it because of how accurate it was. And it was proven to be true by the way that it was played out. And so we know that it was true. It's been proven to be true. And we're excited about that because that's God's word. And we can have confidence in that. And so, but look, the next thing is that line, that last part of the line there in verse 2 of Romans 1. He spoke through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now that part about the Holy Scriptures, here's what... some things that I want you to think about, okay? He's referring to, at this time in history, when Paul's writing this, he's referring to the Old Testament. He's calling the Old Testament God's Word. He's saying that's God's Word. And so I want you to think about that some. I want you to think about the power of a statement that the Old Testament is God's Word. Okay? Think about that for a minute. How many times have you ever wanted God to just give you a neon sign, tell you exactly what to do? Or if God would just speak right to you, that'd be so great, wouldn't it? And then I tell you, you know, the Old Testament is God's word. And you know what you say? Yeah. Okay. He spoke, moved through prophets, made sure that this word was protected all the way down to us so that we could have it. He spoke and did that in a powerful way. And it's God's word, and we need to be excited about it. We need to want to get in here and find out about what God had to say. Did you know that? We need to want that. If you're a Christian and you have absolutely no desire to know what God had to say, man, you've wandered quite a bit away from your Savior, and you need to have that desire for Him. Now listen. So I want you to get excited about that. But here's one thing I want you to do for me. When you go home and you read the whole Old Testament this upcoming week, here's what I want you to do for me. Read the Old Testament in light of the understanding that Jesus brought to it. Understand the Old Testament points to Jesus and the good news about Him. Okay? That's what it was pointing to. You need to read every passage and try to find that in every single note of the Old Testament. When you read over in Leviticus, and you get over there and you're hung in there where it talks about red sores with white hairs in the middle of them, you're going to find yourself saying, I'm not sure I can find Jesus in red sores with white hairs. But I want you to know you can. Because what happens there is, that leprosy, man, it was contagious. You had to be separated from the camp and everything. But you know what? Once you had been healed of that, the high priest was the one who checked you out, made sure you could come back in. Priests were. And you know, when you and I, we're in our sin, we're separated from God. You know that Jesus is the only one who could bring us and reconcile us to God. You know, when he reconciles us to God, we become a part of this body called the church. I don't mean Calvary's Cross Baptist Church. I mean every believer around the world red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight, every single one of them, whether they're English, Spanish, Chinese, Korean, whatever language they speak, Mandarin, it don't matter. You know, God unites us together, brings us together into this amazingly unique body. Have you ever thought about that? You're a part of this church here, and we need you to be that. We need you to be a part of this here to do what God has made us to do right here in the Bun, North Carolina metropolis. But I want you to know, your brothers and sisters that are in Nepal right now are just as much your brothers and sisters in Christ as the people that are saved in this room sitting next to you. Okay? If you're saved, they're just as much your brothers and sisters in Christ as anybody local to you. That's incredible. I mean, you think about that. Could you imagine when you get to heaven and you meet somebody and they don't look anything like you? And you're going to be able to say, man, praise God, you're brother or sister. This is exciting. I mean, look around this room. Look around. You guys didn't do it. Okay, look around. Move your head. Move your head. There you go. Move your head. See, this is why I point out that when you get to heaven, people are going to look different. Because you don't experience that here very often. But listen, I wish we would, and I'm praying God will begin to build that up. But listen, what I want you to think about here for just a second is this idea, this concept that you've got to get going in your mind. That what God was doing in the Old Testament was He was pointing toward what He was going to do. But to think about this, guys, He was so important to Him that we understood that His promise was from a long time ago, that He made sure that He protected every word of the Old Testament for us to be able to see His promises. And so He went through that so we could enjoy it and see those promises. Now there's one more place I want to take you to kind of wrap up our time, and it's in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He, that is God, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. Okay, let me stop there for just a second. So what he's saying here is, when you read the Old Testament, prior to Christ and full understanding coming when the Holy Spirit came, there was a mystery to the Old Testament that when people looked at it, they couldn't understand all that it was saying. Can you follow that? They could see there, they could study it, but they didn't have an understanding of all that it was pointing to in Christ. He's saying there was a mystery to it. Now, it's interesting that Paul would be the one writing this, a man who knew the Old Testament so well, who had studied it his whole life. And yet, before he gets saved, what was he doing? He was attacking Christ and the church because he didn't understand what was written in the Old Testament was written about Jesus. But what changed that? Yeah, he met Jesus resurrected on the road to Damascus, and that changed everything for him. And so then move on to verse 5. What was that mystery? Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, hold on just there for a second. So now what he's done, Paul said, okay, there was a mystery that was unknown, but the mystery has been revealed through the Holy Spirit, and the mystery is that God was going to redeem sinful people and give them forgiveness of their sin. And he wasn't going to do it just for Jewish people. He was going to do it for Gentiles as well and make them all one body called the church. He says that. Now, that's exciting enough. But then he goes on and he says, but in doing that, in God hiding the mystery in the Old Testament and then revealing it in Christ and then displaying it through the church, it says he confounds or just teaches a lesson to all the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's a phrase that Paul uses to refer to those forces of Satan that fight against the work and will of God. Have you ever thought about that by studying the Old Testament pointing towards Christ and then celebrating Jesus as the fulfillment of all those prophecies? Have you ever thought about that you're a part of what God is doing to display to his enemies his great plan that they never could have understood? You ever thought about that? That's incredible. I mean, God uses you and I for that. We should be a little bit excited, enthused, moved, impassioned by that. Because think about how awesome and amazing of a thing that is. It's just absolutely amazing. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, let me give you something here to chew on to close this out. I want you to begin, as a Christian, to take that verse, Romans 1:2, and that marry that thing together with Ephesians 3. Because it's important. It's important for your Christian life. Here's why. Because sometimes, when we get into reading and studying God's Word, it doesn't seem that important to us. And it doesn't seem to have any benefit to us when we're doing it. Right? I mean, listen, I'm not up here bashing anybody. I'm talking about every single one of us in this room, unless you are sinless and perfect. That ain't happening. You have gone into God's Word because you felt like you should, and you got absolutely nothing out of it, and you just felt, it just felt empty, right? You with me? You guys ever done this? I mean, come on, guys. It's not the time to be holy. Be holy over there with the lost people when you're trying to look better than them. In here, be real. Don't do the other one either. But listen, when we're being serious and honest, when I go into God's Word because I have to, and when I go into God's Word and I come out with nothing, I'm missing something, aren't I? Listen, is God's Word good? Who gave us His Word? God did. Who made sure it was preserved for us this much later to be able to read? God did. God did some incredible things to give us His Word. And so what I don't want to do today is to give you another pastoral guilt trip about you need to read your Bible more. You guys need to read your Bible more. You with me? But I want something more for you. I don't want you to go home and read your Bible for a week and a half and then never get anything out of it and lose hope in it. I don't want you to do that. What I want you to do is I want you to read the Bible. I want you to read your Old Testament. I want you to read your New Testament, understanding that the message of the Bible is God's good news toward you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Every word of this book points to the good news of Jesus Christ, every single word. From beginning to end, it all points to Jesus. And I want you to get into the Word and look for Jesus. When you go looking for Jesus, I will tell you this. He's not hard to find. You get into this word, you dig in here, you'll start seeing him. And listen, there are a few things spiritually more exciting to me than when I'm in God's word and all of a sudden I begin to see something clearly shine out from the passage. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it gets me excited. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you all this. And, you know, sometimes this is not as easy as I make it look, okay? No. Sometimes when I'm studying during the week, a part of a whole passage, something about it, I'll be digging, and it doesn't make any sense. And I will read every commentary I own, and I'll only be more confused. And don't ever do a Google search over a passage. You never know what you're going to get. But listen, I will write it out. I will read the whole book. I'll read the passage context all around it. I will do everything I can trying to get some idea. And I will just be just so exhausted from that. And I'll be sitting there just staring at it written on a piece of paper going, I still have no clue what that means. And as I sit there, man, God just makes that thing make sense. You ever had that happen? You've looked at it, you've flipped it upside down, you've read the verse backwards to see if there's a hidden message like 70s rock music or anything like that, and you get to looking and hunting and digging at that thing, and there's nothing there, nothing there, nothing there, and you're like, God, I'm just not seeing it, and he just goes, there it is right there. Man, that is incredible. Isn't that moment incredible? Have you ever enjoyed that moment where you're like, I got to call somebody. I got to call, so I don't know anybody spiritual enough to call, so I don't do it. But anyway, just kidding. I call Aaron. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to go into the Word with the expectation that, one, everything you're going to read is going to talk about Jesus. Number two, go into the Word with the expectation that that you would be granted, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner person, that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Now let me pause there for just a second and point something out that I really want to point out that's really important. Listen, it is amazing to do personal Bible study, isn't it? And just find that nugget with God. But you know what is just as exciting? To get together with other believers who have been mining their own treasures and talk about them together and get fired up together. There is nothing that will throw water on your fire faster than mining out Scripture and get around a bunch of people who hadn't opened their Bible in a week. They leave here and it goes in the back window. Now take it out next Sunday, whether they think they'll need it or not, right? Listen, when you get in there, if you mind your Bible, and this person minds their Bible, and you all get together and talk about it, man, you'll stir up a brush fire that burn half of North Carolina spiritually. I'm serious, man. It's exciting. It gets you turned up. And you know what'll happen? Listen, y'all think this is crazy. You know that revival will break out in here, whether we got Earl or not. If we get in God's Word and we get excited about what God's showing us and we start talking to one another, man, all of a sudden, this group of people are going to see God do something. Amen. You know why? Because when they go in the Word, what are they looking for? Jesus. Right. And then it says, you go in there and he says, now listen, I want you to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. And I love this next line. To know the love of Christ, which passes or surpasses knowledge. I want you to know something that knowledge can't comprehend. Man, that's good. You know that? This is not trigonometry. I did trig in fourth grade. It was a pretty tough half a year. I'm just kidding. It was sixth. Listen, vector calculus, I did it for fun. But anyway, listen, I want you to know something now. When you look at this verse, Paul is saying this. He's saying, listen, I want you to dig into God's Word. And when you dig into God's Word, go with an expectation that you're going to find something that you don't even think is findable. A deeper more beautiful understanding of God, who He is, and the love that He has for you. If the Bible is all about the message of God's love through the gospel in His Son, every nugget you find is going to point you to the fact that He loves you more than you could ever comprehend. And you're going to get in there, and every time you dig out the Word of God as a Christian, you're going to say, man, God loves me. How in the world does God love me this much? I wouldn't love me at all. And He says, I know, but I love you because I love you. You didn't make me love you. I just chose to love you. And then that love is deep. How deep is it? Deep. How wide is it? Wide. How long is it? Oh, come on. Y'all are pathetic. I mean, I'm almost hoarse up here, and y'all are like, long. How long is it?
Long.
How wide is it?
Wide.
Come on. That's right. Listen, when you get into God's Word, think about this. The love of God is going to pour all over you as a believer when you dig into the Word. That's right. He'll love you till you just love Him back. And that's good love right there. So I won over Aaron. I mean, it wasn't quite God's love, but it was like that. I loved her till she loved me too. Anyway, she'll tell you the story about that later. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Have you ever had one of those moments as a believer when the Spirit of God was just so present where you were, you felt like you could taste it. It just felt, I mean, it was just there. Man, you get in. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. You can walk into a place where that's happening. But you're much more likely to experience it if you go seeking after God in His Word, believing that He'll meet you there when you go digging. Did you know that? Listen, this is just classic Paul. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So He just said, I want you to go and expect all these fantastic things from the mystery of the gospel in the Old Testament. When you dig those treasures out, expect all these things that cannot be even imagined. And oh yeah, all of that ain't even near the limit. He's going to go way above that. And it's true. It's true. Hey, have you ever had the amazing privilege of standing with somebody when God got a hold of their heart and they accepted Christ as their Savior? But I'm going to tell you right now, man, if you're a Christian, you'll get excited when somebody's saved. You need to check and see whether you might need to get up there too. You see somebody get saved, man, you get excited. You know why? Because you're watching God at work. But that you watch somebody else get saved, it reminds you of you when you got saved. And all of a sudden, man, you're over here having a hallelujah glory time with Jesus. I mean, in a Baptist way, we wouldn't want to get out of control. Just kidding. You get over there and you do it in a God-fearing way, a God-glorifying way, and God stirs your heart. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, this is great. And you know what happens the next morning when you've been walking with God, reading about God, searching for Jesus in the Scriptures that way? When you get up the next morning, when it's time to read your Bible, you say, oh, man, I wonder what He's going to say today. Did you know that? Man, I'm going to tell you what. It's beautiful. According to the power that works in us. 21, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Man, I tell you what, couldn't have ended that section a better way. Listen, here's what I want you to think of as we close out. What this church, this part of the body of Christ, body's all believers, we're just a chunk of it. We got our mission to do right here from the top of this hill, don't we? What we need to be about as our part of the body, we need to be in love with the God who loves us. We need to get into His Word more than on Sunday morning. and more than when we are together with somebody else leading us. Listen, that if I can read the Bible and get something out of it, it's because the Holy Spirit's in me, not because I'm a preacher. You know what that means? If you're a Christian, the Bible says you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can read the Bible and God can give you something out of it. You can read this and be charged up by the love of God and overwhelmed by the unknowable yet known love of God. Can you imagine? And wouldn't you like that this week? Wouldn't you, more than just go out here and read your Bible this week, wouldn't you like to read your word and find the love of God clear in the gospel, in the book of Leviticus, or the book of 1 Kings, or the book of Romans, wherever God has you reading that week? Wouldn't you love that? Man, I just want to encourage you, get in your word this week. But don't do it to do it. Do it to go in there because you love the God that that book's about. And you know that he loves you. That he's got something special for you. And believe this, if you'll do that, God will bring glory to himself by all those who do that. People around you will see a difference in you. And they'll say, hey, what's going on with you? You say, man, I've been reading my Bible. Say, I thought you were always a Christian since I've known you. Yeah, but I wasn't walking in step with God. Lost kind of the love, but man, I've been reading, and the love of God's been so clear to me, I just can't help but be excited about it. And you know what? Somebody's going to say, huh, well, that's what Jesus does? Man, that's awesome. Would you guys be okay with that? If some of your coworkers and your family members said, man, that's what Jesus is like? Well, I wouldn't mind having some of that. All right. Some of y'all are excited, and some of y'all or asleep. That's all right. That's okay. Would you bow your heads with me for just a minute? I want to pray with you. God, this is just a fantastic time to live in a day where we have such incredible access to your word. Lord, we thank you that the Old Testament has such great value in being the promise of what was to come in Christ. Thank you for the New Testament explaining to us how Christ is the fulfillment of all things and that in him we find the greatest display of love that's ever been. Thank you for the salvation that we are offered through Jesus. I pray for anybody in this room, Lord, who doesn't know you as their Savior. Lord, they don't know the kind of love that you have for them yet. They don't know the victory of having their sins forgiven. They don't know the power of having an eternal life to live for you and with you that would begin even today if they would surrender. I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that you would remove every blinder from their heart and their eyes, and God, that they would humbly come and accept your invitation of love and be forgiven and be saved right here today. Lord, I pray that that would happen for someone. What a miracle that would be, Lord. For some believers in this room, Lord, God, they love you. They know that they're loved by you. But this old world steals joy. Our crazy American schedule steals all our time. And Lord, I know that each one of us in this room, we struggle with coming into your word with joy, looking for the gospel, looking for your love, and looking for Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would awaken and renew in every one of us in this room, Lord, a desire to be in your word that does not stem from any legalistic obligation, but that only comes from a deep burning desire to know you, to know your love, and to be a display of your love to others. God, would you work in us? Would you move in us? Would you help us to mine your scriptures for the beauty of the mystery of the gospel, and let your love shine out from us as it should. Oh God, please do this thing amongst your people. Right now, as